Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with our church and with everyone that's here. They're here in this service, and so if you want to give them a big hug afterwards, I'm sure you could. But and you got a beautiful little baby there in your arms too. But when I hear stories like that, it reminds me of the power of hope, and that's what Easter is about. That's what Resurrection Sunday is about. It's about a God who met us in the midst of our crisis of hope. And let me ask you this morning, have you ever faced a crisis of hope, as it were? Have you faced one of those seasons where, or a situation where you just realize, this is out of my control. This is something I don't know how the outcome is going to be. I don't know where the resource is going to come from, but you're in this crisis of hope. I remember a situation a number of years ago when our boys were little. Our oldest was 4 and our younger son, Logan, was 2. And we had this regular part of our life called going to Target. Raise your hand. Anyone have a regular rhythm of going to Target? Okay, like 3 of you. Man, the rest of you need to get out. So if you don't know what Target is, it's a store. It's got a red circle on it, and you can buy everything there. No, I'm just kidding. So we went to Target, and the community we're in at the time, the Target was actually connected to a mall. And you walked in, and so there was the regular displays up front with toys and candy and whatnot. And then off to the left, there was a huge mall entrance. And so we went in with our little boys. Again, they're used to the routine. They kind of stopped and they saw the fun little things up front. We kept them moving along because we had things to do, things to check off of our list. And so we start doing our shopping. And we get, down the way, and we're way back in the back corner of the store. And Stacy and I look at her at one point, and I said, "Hey, have you seen Logan?" And he's a little 2-year-old blonde-headed boy. I mean, he was lots of energy, so it was not uncommon for him to kind of wander into maybe a nearby aisle. And so she said, "No, I haven't seen him." And Marcus was down at the end of that aisle, so I said, "Marcus, have you seen Logan?" And he said, "No." So I'm not really panicked yet. I'm used to finding him an aisle or two down. So I looked to the next aisle, and he's not there. I go to the next aisle, he's not there. Now my heart rate is starting to rise. I can feel the panic starting to set in, and so I find a Target employee who happens to be walking by. It's this 17-year-old kid, chewing gum with an oversized red polo shirt on, and I said, "Hey, have you seen a little blonde, 2-year-old boy running around?" And I'm trying to stay cool, and anyway, he's like, "No." And I don't know if it was just his indifference or what, but all of a sudden, I looked at him, and I said, "Well, then get on your walkie-talkie and call someone because we can't find our son." And his eyes went, and so I look at Stacy and I'm like, "This kid's not going to help us." So I go, "You go that way and I go this way." And so she's running up those aisles. I'm running down these aisles. Logan. And, maybe 2 minutes, maybe, 2 to 3 minutes have gone by, and it feels like much longer, right? It's just, the emotion of the moment is there. And all of a sudden, I think, wait a second, what about the front of the store? He was enjoying those toys up front. So I run all the way, I'm running through Target as fast as I can. I get up there, and sure enough, I find my little blonde 2-year-old boy looking at, he's got a little ball, and he's just kind of bouncing it there in the aisle, and looks up at me like, "Hey, Dad." And I looked at him, and I didn't know whether I should strangle him or hug him, It was like that emotional moment, but the crisis of hope, it hits deep, doesn't it? When you recognize that things are out of your control, when there's uncertainty all around you. And so I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about crisis that you would face. Maybe, and here's the reality. The reality is either you have just finished going through a season of crisis or problem, or you're right in the middle of one right now, or you're about to go through a season of crisis. But the reality is it's part of this life to face these times and these seasons. And as we begin this morning, I want you to understand something very important about when you're facing crisis and challenges and problems, and in light of what we're talking about today, which is hope. And it's this, that you won't find hope until you face a crisis. You won't find hope until you face a crisis. And you might go, what? What do you mean? Well, here's the reality. Hope is irrelevant until you face a crisis. If everything is perfect in your life, if you have everything under control, if you got the hold of the steering wheel and everything is going just as you planned, then you have no reason for hope, do you? But it's when you come to the realization that there is so much out of your control and so much that you can't do in your own strength that then you go, man, I need a hope that is bigger. I need a hope that is greater. I see the picture of the crisis of hope on a regular basis when I look out my office window. We've got a pond right over here, and I watch fisherman after fisherman walk out with their fishing pole, throw it in the water, and pull it back. Nothing. Throw it out and back. In fact, just this last week, our kids were on spring break, and one of my sons was out there one day, and he was fishing all day and didn't catch anything. And by the end of the day, I had said, hey, how'd it go today? And he said, I didn't catch anything. Oh, I said, sorry, I'm bummed. He's like, but tomorrow will be different, right? The picture of hope. And so sure enough, the next day he comes in, he's got his full tackle box with him, a whole new bag of stuff that he picked up at the store with all sorts of fishing gear. And so within 2 minutes, he comes right up to my window with the fish. He's going, look, I got one. All right, good job. Runs back. Another 2 minutes later, he shows up with another fish, a bigger one, a bass. And he's like, look, I got another one. I'm like, oh, that's great. This time I ran out there and took a picture of him with his bass. And so I'm like, man, that's a great fish. And I said, so, man, what lure were you using? And he's like, I was using hot dogs. I'm like, that's cheating. That is cheating. But he said, no, I'm just waking the fish up. Then they all know there's hot dogs, and then I'll catch them with the right stuff. So, but if you've ever faced a crisis of hope, you know that you will do anything to overcome that crisis, right? To overcome that problem. Anything you can do in your own strength, you're going to try it. And so again, as we think about our own lives, I don't know what the crisis may be for you. Maybe you've been facing a real season of discouragement or depression. Maybe you've faced some relational challenge or even a family crisis that's been going on. Maybe there's a financial need, physical illness. But when you're in those times, I want us to all understand this today, that the sooner you embrace the reality of your crisis, the sooner you can embrace hope. And that's what I want to talk about today. How do we embrace this hope that is offered to us through Jesus? And so if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I believe today hope is going to rise up in every single one of our hearts. I believe that God's going to speak some things and do some things in our hearts today that I believe really has the opportunity to really change some things in our lives in a big, big way. And so today, as we look at Luke chapter 24, what we see is that Jesus, he has already died on what we know as Good Friday, although it wasn't too good for him, but he died and then he was buried in the grave, and Saturday was their Sabbath, and so all the Jewish folks, they were resting there on Sabbath, and then they got done with their Sabbath. Now Sunday, the first day of the week came, and now the ladies of the followers of Jesus came, and now they could actually go and do the burial process that they wanted to, which was pretty common in those days. They would use herbs and various just incense to just allow the body to deteriorate in a way that there would even be just a good aroma in the tomb, and so. So they went there to do that day. And now we come, though, to verse 1 of Luke chapter 24, where it says this. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." So what I want to do as we begin today, I want to just give you a couple of indicators that you may need hope. If you're evaluating, looking into your own life, and you're going, well, how do I really know if I need this hope that you're talking about? I want to just give us a couple of things to pay attention to. And the first is this, that you may need hope, first of all, if your expectations are shattered. If you have expectations that have been shattered, I would suggest to you today that you are a great candidate for hope. These women who showed up at the tomb to care for Jesus' body, they were there and they were expecting to find his body there, since it had been buried just shortly, you know, the day before. And they get there, they see the tombstone has been rolled away, and these angels are there. And the Bible says that they were greatly perplexed. When you have expectations for any area of your life, really, and those expectations are shattered, when things don't happen as you thought they would, how many know that it causes you to be greatly perplexed? It can cause you to feel hopeless. And for these ladies, as they showed up at the tomb, again, they already felt a little bit hopeless because their rabbi, their teacher, Jesus, who had walked so closely with them and the other followers, the other disciples, he had already died on the cross just a couple days earlier. And so they were already wrestling in their hearts. And now his body's gone. Their expectations are shattered. Now you continue in verse 5 and it says, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth," as they see these angels there, "they said to them," the angel said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." So now the ladies come back, they're sharing that Jesus' body was not there. They're telling them about how the angels were there, and the apostles, you know, the 11, they don't believe them. They're going, "Nah, I'm not too sure about this." And so Peter, one of the 11, he says in verse 12, "He arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." So the second thing I want us to understand this morning is that you know you're a good candidate for hope when it seems too good to be true. That's essentially what was going on here for these apostles. They're hearing this news that Jesus, his body wasn't there, and that the angels had told the women that he was risen, but they're going, "That seems too good to be true." And Peter's like, "I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to go check it out for myself." And the Bible says he was marveling to himself. Again, he's just, my translation of this would be that he's going, "Mind blown. I don't get this. This, again, this is hard for me to comprehend. It seems too good to be true." When you believe that something better is on the way, and yet you can't see it yet, it has this ability to affect the hope in your heart. My dad, growing up as a kid, used to say something. He used to say, "If it seems too good to be true, then it probably is." He always used to say as well, "There's no such thing as free lunch." just these little things to burst my optimism, right? But I remember seeing a story on 2020 a while back, and it was for this product that had been invented called Foot Detox. So it was these pads that you put on the bottom of your feet as you sleep, and then it takes away the stink and it takes away the toxins from your body so that you wake up in the morning and you're healthy and you're strong and you feel good. And it's $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And plus, if you call now, you would get these eye detox as well, where you put on your face and it sucks stuff out of your face too, I guess. And so they did this whole study on it, only to find that people still woke up in the morning with stinky feet and they were still tired. So again, if it seems too good to be true, then it probably is. And yet, I know for some of us here today, maybe you've heard a pastor talk before and you've heard him say things like, the things of your past, the failures of your past, you can be forgiven of those, that you can have a new beginning, that you may hear a pastor say, God has a plan for your life. And you might hear that and you go, oh, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Or maybe you've heard someone like Fred and Jackie share their story and talk about how even through a tragic circumstance that they saw God and just his faithfulness and trusting him. And you go, but man, I mean, you don't know what I'm going through. It seems too good to be true. And whenever we find ourselves thinking that and saying that, can I tell you what's going on? We're fighting discouragement. We have this kind of human mechanism where when we're afraid to believe and when we're afraid to have hope, we try to push it away when we don't want to be disappointed, when we're trying to protect our hearts. And that's what the disciples were doing here. And you continue in verse 13, and it says, now behold, two of them, that is two of the disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? The next thing I want us to understand about when you know you're a candidate for hope, and it's this, when you are struggling to see Jesus. When you're having a hard time seeing Jesus, I can tell you right now that you are a candidate for hope. These disciples are on the road to Emmaus, trying to make sense of what's gone on. Jesus has died. He was put in the tomb. They say his body is gone. They're saying that these angels said he's risen, but we don't know. They're just trying to make sense of it all. And then Jesus shows up, and they don't even recognize him. They don't even recognize him. Now, we don't know exactly how that was, whether the Holy Spirit restrained them or they were, you know, just crying and blubbery that they couldn't see through their eyes. I mean, we don't know exactly. But we know that they didn't recognize him. They were having a hard time seeing Jesus. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've had a really hard time seeing Jesus. When I've been going through a circumstance, a challenge, and it's really, really hard to see him there. In fact, I remember a circumstance not too different from the one the Cato's shared this morning, where a good friend of mine in high school named Shauna Elford, she was 16 years old, and one day after soccer practice, I'd just been at the soccer fields with them about 15, 20 minutes earlier, and they stopped. She was actually with my girlfriend at the time, and they stopped to help someone who had gotten in a little minor car accident on the side of the road, and my friend Shauna was going to help them when she was struck by a car. She was rushed to the emergency room and was in intensive care for 4 days until she died. And I remember being there every single day with her, with my friends and with her family, and praying and believing that God would do a miracle, only to see her die. And for the next few months, I really, really struggled. I had a lot of arguments with God. And then I remember going back and sitting down with her parents, and I brought a couple of my friends, and we had lunch with them one day. And her parents began to share with us. They said, you know what? You remember at Shauna's service, over 50 teenagers committed their lives to Christ that day. And now, just a few months later, some of those same kids are even going to ministry and going to the mission field. They're following God with abandon, and we believe that so much of it has to do with what Jesus did, not just through the life of Shauna, but even through her death. And they helped me to realize that there are going to be times in our life where we are having a hard time seeing Jesus, but just like the disciples, it's important that we recognize that even in those times, he's right there walking with us every step of the way. And so for any here today that maybe you're going through that time right now, don't be discouraged, because he's already with you. And so Jesus, he's with these disciples, and he says, hey guys, why are you so sad? And Cleopas says, you're not from around here, are you? I mean, this guy who was like amazing, died on the cross, and now we can't find his body. They tell him the whole story. And in verse 25, Jesus says to these guys now, he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. I love Jesus, right? I love how he says that. You know, I give you permission. If there's someone's having a hard time getting it, you can tell them, oh, foolish one, you know, because Jesus says it, okay? So, no, just kidding. Don't say that. That's not nice. That's not nice. Only Jesus can. But he says, you're slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? See, when you're facing a crisis of hope, can I tell you what you're really facing? You're facing a crisis of the heart. And that's why Jesus says, you're slow of heart to believe. And he goes on to describe what the prophets have spoken. What he's saying is, God has a bigger plan that's going on right now. There's a bigger plan here, and if you just trust God, just trust him and know that something great is going on right now. So even in these times when we don't understand, we're struggling to see him, when we're facing this crisis of hope, this crisis in our hearts, when we're struggling to believe, Jesus would say, just trust the plan of God. Know that something good is happening right now. And so as they continue walking along, they get to a village and they stop at a house and they invite Jesus in. They still haven't recognized him yet, even after he said, oh, foolish ones. And then in verse 30, it says, now it came to pass as he sat down at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. And then their eyes were open and they knew him. And then he vanished from their sight. I love that. Just poof. And so all of a sudden they realized, wait, this was Jesus with us all the way along. But here's what I want us to get. This whole section where Jesus shows up and he's walking along on the road with him, it wasn't just because he coincidentally ran out or came across them on the road. It wasn't because he was bored and had nothing else to do. Do you know what this is about? This is about Jesus going after these disciples and saying, I know that you need to see and experience me so that your hope can be restored. And so he went and he found them. And what that means is that even when you're on that road and you're struggling to believe, struggling with hope in your heart, know that as much as you may be committed to trying to find your way to God, know he's even more committed to finding you. He's even more committed to meeting you where you are so that hope can be awakened in your heart. And so in verse 32, it says, then after this, they said, the disciples turned. Now Jesus went, poof, he's gone. And they turned and they go, did our hearts not burn within us as he talked with us on the road while he opened the scriptures with us? They're going, man, I knew there's something in my heart, something stirring there. So now we get to the most important part of what I want to share with you today. And it's this. I want to give you now just a couple of reasons and a couple of evidences that you know that you have found hope. That you know that you found hope, you know that you've encountered Jesus, and you know that hope is there for you now when these things start to happen. That maybe your expectations have been shattered. Maybe you've been struggling with this sense that, man, this seems too good to be true, and maybe you've even struggled to see Jesus in the midst of your situation. But here's what I want you to know. You know you've found hope when your heart starts to burn with possibility. When your heart starts to burn with possibility. That's what's going on with the disciples here. Their hearts, they're going, our hearts were burning. We see, we had this sense that maybe something that was going on, something that was, seemed impossible. We didn't know what it was. And see, again, whatever hopelessness you have been facing, whatever hopeless situation may be in front of you, pay attention to the stirring of possibility in your heart. Don't dismiss it. Don't shove it aside. Let it burn. Let that heart, that stirring happen in your heart. Start to dream about the new beginnings. Start to dream about the possibilities of the miraculous things that God could do in your life. The way that he could provide you a job. The way that he could heal that relationship. The way that he could take care of that struggle that you've been having. And so these disciples, now as they said these things, it says that Jesus, so now some time has passed. Now they've kind of had a little time to themselves to process. And it says that now Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Basically what that means though is that Jesus reappeared. Now they're in a separate room and now Jesus reappears. And we're led to believe that he didn't walk through the door. He walked through the wall. But then, and so they're kind of struggling. Wait, is this guy a ghost? I mean, what's going on here? This is kind of creepy. And so that's why he says in verse 39, he says, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And then he showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him some broiled fish and some honeycomb, the Bible says. Not honeycomb, the cereal, like actual honeycomb. And then he took it and ate it in their presence. Here's the second thing. You know you found hope when Jesus shows up and starts to do the impossible. You know you found hope when Jesus starts to show up and do impossible things. See, Jesus, again, he did the impossible. He just reappeared in the room. And then, so he does something really only a ghost could do, but then he eats fish and honeycomb. And he shows them, look, I'm risen from the grave. I've defeated death, what has been impossible for everyone else. I've risen from the grave. And then he does something even more impossible. The Bible tells us he ascends into heaven. At the end of the chapter, it tells us in verse 52 that they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. See, the third thing that happens, you know you've found hope when joy returns. And I want to tell you that when you find hope, joy will return. Maybe joy has been missing in your life. Maybe you've been very discouraged. I want you to know that when you find hope, joy will return. Anyone that knows anything about professional sports has probably heard the name Tiger Woods, right? In fact, I had the opportunity to see Tiger play in his last amateur tournament a number of years ago, and he was an incredible athlete to watch play. And then over the years that followed, to watch him become one of the greatest golfers, just winning tournament after tournament, major after major. But if you know his story at all, you know that a number of years ago, things really started to fall apart in his life. Some things were exposed in his life that caused him some of his relationships to fall apart. His physical body started to not be the same. In fact, he started to struggle with major back pain. Not only that, he went on to struggle in his golf game and ultimately hadn't won a major tournament for 11 years until last Sunday. And at the end of the Masters tournament that he won last week, Nike had a commercial ready to go, or maybe they made it in 30 seconds, I don't know. But but this commercial played. And something really hit me, and I want you to watch it, and I want you to pay attention to the end when little boy Tiger is there, and I want you to just pay attention to that. But let's go ahead and watch this commercial. So what we see is Tiger is a little boy who has this dream that he's going to beat Jack Nicklaus. And for those that aren't aware, he's now closer than ever to beating Jack Nicklaus's record. But what I want us to recognize about that, again, is this picture of resurrection where the critics and everyone else was saying that Tiger's career was over, he was never going to golf again, he was never going to win a major again. All of a sudden, something has been resurrected. A dream has been resurrected in his life. And what I want us to pay attention to is this. God's interested in resurrecting more than just your golf game. God is interested in resurrecting the plans and the purposes that he placed inside of you since the beginning of time. Since you were a little child, God had instilled in you a plan and a purpose. And see, what sin and death wanted to do, what the powers of hell wanted to do, was to ruin and to destroy and to steal the plans and the purposes that God had for your life. But God sent his son to walk this earth and to die for our sins and to rise from the grave. And what happened when he rose from the grave is he defeated the power of sin and death over your life so that the plans and the purposes of God would prevail and that ultimately the hope would rise up. That you would be victorious and that you would see a better day. And see, this morning, as you walked into this place, every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us has a journey. And I believe that for so many of us in this room, at some level, God wants you to re-embrace hope once again. Hope that he has a plan for your life. Hope that he wants to restore something to you that's been lost. Hope that he wants to heal something that's been broken in your life. Hope that he wants to give you new dreams and new visions and new beginnings. Hope that he wants to bless you in ways that you could never fathom. But you've got to say yes to relationship with him. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you opportunity to say yes to that relationship. And I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads with me if you would for a moment, because I want to just give each of us a moment with God, a moment to just reflect on our own lives and reflect on our own hearts. Again, today, maybe you're here and you've been struggling with some of the things that we've talked about. Your expectations have been shattered. You've wanted to believe, but it just seems too good to be true. But you hear the Lord saying to you today, there's something stirring in your heart. There's something of possibility that's stirring in your heart today. And you know, God, I want all that you have for me. God, I want to have that new beginning. God, I want to live in the peace and the joy knowing that the past is in the past. And now you have great and amazing days in front of me. And today, if that would be you, in just a moment, I want to give a simple invitation. I'm going to, just a couple, in a moment or two, count to three, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand. And when you do that, I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. But I want this to be a moment where you would acknowledge before God to say, God, I am saying yes to you today. I'm saying yes to hope. I'm saying yes to trusting you and to believing you and to letting you resurrect something that seemed to be dead and gone in my life. And so, if that's you, in just a moment, when I say three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hand right now. If you'd say, God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to that hope. Yeah, all over the room. Praise God. Awesome. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that right now, throughout this room, there are hands raised to heaven that are declaring their confidence in you, that are declaring their commitment to, Lord, to follow you and to trust you with the details of their lives. And I pray that you would rush in right now and that you would meet them where they are. Lord, that those that need to know the power of your forgiveness, Lord, that they would experience your love right now. Lord, for those that are struggling, Lord, with depression and discouragement, Lord, that you would just encourage and strengthen their hearts with hope today. We thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you are able, and that you are mighty. Lord, that you're the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, and you're resurrecting hope in our lives today. I want to ask everyone just to repeat after me this simple prayer out loud, just in agreement with those that have made that decision today. So just repeat this simple prayer after me. Jesus, I say yes to hope. I say yes to you. I say yes to following you with my life. Lead me in your ways that I will live for you and see your plans prevail in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise this morning? Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.